Hello, and welcome to episode 178 of Film Night. My name's Richie.
My name's Jack.
And in today's episode, where we're talking LIFF 2021. That's the Leeds International Film Festival for this year. So we're going to be doing four films in total, spanning two episodes. How do you feel about that, Jack?
It's a lot. I'm not sure we're paid enough for this, but...
No.
I think we should get into it. I'm looking forward to it. It's great to be back. Third year.
It is good to be back.
Obviously, last year was a bit different.
Yeah, last year we had to do it all remotely. But this year, you've managed to find your way back to Leeds for it.
I have. I'm very glad I did. Shame that, you know, neither Pet nor Woody could make it. But, you know, we expected that it wouldn't be easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's difficult coordinating all of our schedules and you know, making stuff like this happen. But... yeah, I'm great. I'm very happy to be here.
Okay.
Obviously, first year was 2019, and it was the same thing, wasn't it? I came to your previous gaff.
Yes.
Oh, Penny, you're just introducing yourself there.
Yeah, that's my dog. Making her voice known.
I mean, she's taken the opportunity. She's very opportunistic.
I have to put her out in a bit.
Yeah, she's a bit fidgety this morning, aren't you, eh? We thought we'd be all right leaving the door open. She's pushing a little though.
Okay, come on.
That's all right, I'll fill whilst... Okay, you're not even doing it. Oh, he's just shutting it down. So Penny's now out of the room. Sorry to all dog lovers. But yeah, no, it's great to be back. I'm really, really glad we've been able to do this. And yeah, two films down, two to go later on today.
Yeah, We were hoping to have all four of us do this, but yeah, actually, I'd say this whole thing has snuck up on me quite a bit.
Yeah, that's fair enough, actually.
Got to November in a flash.
Yeah, because we talk about it through the year. It always feels like we have ages because it's at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And then but to be fair, you can't really organise it till fairly last minute anyway, because, well, I guess you could, because I know the dates are released early, but, you know, you don't know what films are going to be until, like...
Yeah.
It was only about 2 weeks before, wasn't it?
Yeah, so when the films were released, when put a message out, but I think Woody's schedule was all booked up.
Yeah, really. He's a busy boy.
Yeah.
He said he's got no free weekends until the new year, basically.
And Peps was so busy that he didn't even have time to reply.
Yeah, Pep didn't reply, but it's midweek, isn't it? And, you know, we know he's got a Monday to Friday job. I'm lucky in the sense that I do get some midweek days off because just part and parcel of the job, working in sport, weekends and shit.
Classic.
So it's great that I've been able to come.
Although I haven't actually said the names of the films we're going to be doing in this episode yet. And it's going to be Tiong Bahru Social Club and Krat.
Yeah.
Yeah, two very strange films.
Two very strange, very different films.
Yeah.
Rather differing opinions on each.
How have things been going for you anyway, Jack?
Yeah, fine. Not too much exciting news.
No.
I've been looking forward to this. Really, that's kind of it.
That's about it, really.
Yeah, I've had this on my horizon for the last week or so. And just glad to get going, really. So, yeah, no. I wish I had some exciting little nugget for the listeners, but...
Me too.
I have a very boring life, listeners, so sorry.
Would have been nice.
Oh, I am going to Wembley on Friday.
Okay.
For anyone that cares. To watch England.
Yeah, all right. Go on then.
Yeah, England are playing Albania in a World Cup qualifier.
Oof, clash of the Titans.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, we're expecting goals. We're expecting,
expecting goals, expecting saves, expecting one or two kickoffs.
One or two. We're expecting to see a football, possibly. Maybe.
But no, sound of that.
I wasn't expecting it to be sold out, but apparently it is, so it'll be at least a good atmosphere and stuff. Yeah, me and Bobby are going. So
Bobby's Jack's girlfriend.
She is. So yeah, that's Friday. That's something to look forward to. But other than that, no.
Cool. Yeah. What's spurred that on?
Well, since going out with yours truly, Bobby has found a bit of a passion for football out of nowhere. She never used to be.
She didn't have a choice because that's all you. No, you're ever interested
in. No, she did have a choice. I'm not forcing it on her. But yeah, she's suddenly like into it and wants to watch all the games. And
nice.
And she's never been to a game, so yeah.
Yeah, I've only been to one in my life. First one I went to was when I was like 21 or something.
Was it Old Trafford?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who did they play? Do you remember it?
Manchester United were playing.
Yes. I'm glad it left such a massive impression on you.
They played a team.
Okay.
They played a team of an opposite sort of location.
And they had 11 footballers on their team.
If I recall correctly, yes.
Well, obviously didn't leave much of an impression.
It was a thrilling game that ended in a nil-nil result.
Was it? Oh.
Yes, it wasn't very thrilling.
That's a shame on your first ever game, isn't it?
Yeah, but I enjoyed the atmosphere all the same. It was fun. I would like to go to another one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. I mean, I think Bobby got the bug during the Euros when the whole country was back in England.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah, that was a crazy summer that didn't quite end in the way we wanted it to, did it?
No.
But no, so she's really excited. And so am I. Yeah, really looking forward to it.
Good stuff.
I think we should talk films.
Let's get into some films, shall we? No one listens to us to hear about fucking sports.
Apart from Ben.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
And Rob. Sorry, Rob.
We haven't talked about Villa, though.
Well, Villa have sacked their manager, so that's big news.
Okay, well, I didn't really want to get into this. So.
No, let's talk films.
Yeah. This week, we are reviewing Chiang Bahru Social Club. Here's a clip. I suppose we can do a clip because a lot of it was actually in English.
Welcome to Chiang Bahru Social Club. Our patented algorithm tailors a program for Chiang Bahru's residents to enhance all aspects of their happiness.
I hate trains. I hate trains.
Our gross community happiness index reached 65%! Yay!
Is everything okay, B?
Can I see his data? What can we do to make her happier?
I'll think of something.
The modern society presents us with too many options, but they are all an illusion.
Chiang Bahru Social Club is directed by B. Tiam Tan, and it stars Thomas Pang, Guat Kian Go, and Jalin Han. The synopsis is, RB goes on a comedic odyssey through Chiang Bahru Social Club, a data-driven project to create the happiest neighborhood in the world. Little by little, his encounters with the neighborhood's residents reveal the absurdity of life. What did you think of Chiang Bahru Social Club, Jack?
I enjoyed this film. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
Good.
I thought the aesthetic was gorgeous, actually. You know, all the cinematography.
Very colourful.
Really colourful. Had a slight Wes Anderson vibe to it in certain shots.
Yeah, I suppose I can see that.
Yeah, not like the whole way through, but, you know.
In terms of like camera placements or whatever.
Yeah, a bit. Camera placements, quite a lot of still camera, watching the scene unfold. But mainly I say that because of the colours, you know. There's a strong palette at play.
Yeah.
And all that came together really nicely. The acting, I thought the main guy, Thomas Pang, is it? I think you said.
Yeah.
He was great. And they all were, really. Yeah, it's obviously got a lot to say, or it's trying to have something to say regarding various things, society and happiness in particular.
Yeah, and I guess the way certain countries around there like to, measure...
Yeah, I didn't really...
happiness or social points or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever's going on over there in those crazy countries.
Yeah, it might be more of a thing over there in terms of measuring it. Because I did read, actually, you know, just before we came on, that Singapore, according to the 2020 World Happiness Index or something, I think it's called, Singapore is ranked second in Asia. Only to Taiwan in terms of happiest nation. Don't know how they measure it.
Yeah, so I suppose I can definitely see commentary on you know, statistics like that in this film.
Yeah, and just the idea that, like statistical farming and the need or the fact that the governments sometimes feel the need, I guess, to measure every possible thing.
Mm. Completely arbitrary.
Yeah, and use it to their advantage.
Factors.
It had a bit of a cult sort of environment, didn't it? This social club.
It's almost like an old folks sort of home or one of those suburbs that's just like, I guess, like a neighborhood. I guess that's what it's going for, obviously. But
yeah, it was a weird one because, like, obviously you've got the happiness agents, and that's what the main character is.
Mm.
And there's a few of them, and they're employed obviously by the social club. And they each get buddied up with a senior citizen or resident.
Mm-hmm.
And then throughout the week, they've obviously got to look after their senior resident and take them to get lunch and basically just keep them as happy as they can.
Mm-hmm.
And then that then ties into their scores at the end of the week or something.
Yeah.
But was it measuring?
It's measuring both their personal happiness and their contribution to other people's happiness.
Right. So, okay. And that's an interesting dynamic as well, because, you know, if you're able to contribute to other people's happiness greatly, you know, that didn't always reflect the opposite way. I think our main character's personal happiness was quite low for a lot of the film. And then you've got the whole idea of putting on the fake smile, because he was smiling a lot.
Yes, he's trying very hard to be, to follow all the rules, you know, thinking that that will make him happy.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's lots of moments where, or one that stood out, I suppose, is when he's in his home and he's got his, what was the name of his AI?
Bravo 60,
yeah. is telling him what his personal happiness is. And it was like 45% or something. So he put on a big grin and then it went down to 44%.
Yeah.
I thought it was quite a good little moment.
It was.
Isn't that?
Yeah, it was. And it, you know, it's, I like films that do this, where they take, you know, quite a philosophical type idea, because it's not just happiness. It's I think there are other things at play here, and it's like, but it does it in a way that isn't heavy at all. It didn't feel like I was being sort of lectured.
No, it was pretty fun. It was a very funny film, and I think that helped.
Yeah,
helped it along a lot, I suppose, in terms of that kind of. Or I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but there's something about it that kind of reminds me of a Yorgos Lanthimos film.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good shout, yeah.
I'm not quite sure what it is exactly. I guess maybe the...
I think a lot of characters in his films have the similar... You know how we were saying that, you know, a lot of these characters are kind of going through their daily tasks, almost robotic, like...
Yeah, there's an eeriness to it that...
Yeah,
that
behind everything.
That makes me feel that way, and there's, you know... A lot of times when people will be saying something and the reality or their attitude seems to contradict what they're saying altogether. Yeah.
That's a good comparison, actually. Yeah, there is an eeriness behind it all. Even in the funnier moments.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's an uneasy laughter because you're laughing, but it's like, actually, that's kind of dodgy.
Yeah. But it was pretty funny throughout. I think I was like... having a few laughs throughout the whole film.
I wasn't belly laughing or anything.
No.
But I don't think it was trying to be that.
Yeah.
It wasn't trying to...
But I think that helps it a lot because I think maybe the plot starts to wear a bit thin at a certain point in the film.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I
think the length was good, though. I didn't feel like it dragged for me.
No. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Unlike the later film, which we'll get onto.
But that's why I just think that the comedy helps a lot in keeping you involved and
yes, because after a certain point, I see what you say. Yeah, after a certain point, what it's going for, you know, it makes its point after like probably an hour, and then the rest is kind of just right. I get what you're saying. Let's see what, you know, I'm more interested in the characters rather than the message.
I just think there was things where I was wondering where it was going to go. And I think in a way it didn't quite go anywhere.
Actually, yeah. I said that to you as well about there was a couple of scenes where we would see like a control room and it was darker and it was being led by this sort of, I don't know who she was, but some sort of leader, government figure.
I think that's sort of all you need to.
Yeah. And the sort of the lead staff member, the lead nurse, whatever her job title is, she was reporting to her. And like I say, she would have these weekly sort of rankings and all the employees were ranked.
Yeah.
So RB, the main character, started out near the bottom, didn't he? And then he improved steadily and ended up being the best employee.
Mm-hmm.
So that was all quite dark. Those were the darker moments.
Yeah. So it went somewhere in terms of his personal emotional journey.
Yeah, his journey.
But yeah, in terms of like the grander scale.
Yeah, because that's what I meant to go on to. So we see that quite a few times and it teases a larger thing at play.
Yeah.
And it never really went anywhere, but...
I mean, you can fill in the blanks.
Yeah, I don't think that mattered massively because... Yeah,
No.
You know,
because it was more about him.
Yeah, and I'm glad it stayed more about him rather than became, you know, a bigger film almost.
Yeah.
And started talking more widely about the country. It focused quite specifically on this.
Didn't turn into like him trying to overthrow the government or anything.
No, it didn't. And I'm glad it did that.
Yeah.
And I'm glad the focus was on him because right from the off, it made an effort, didn't it, to make you emotionally invested in him and his well-being and stuff.
Yeah.
Because we haven't talked about his mum. His mum was great.
She was good, yeah.
And their relationship was clearly a very strong one. Mm-hmm. We don't see a father figure, so I guess we're meant to presume that, you know, either he hasn't known his dad or something.
I don't know. I didn't really think about it. I don't know if it's important.
I don't want to make up shit. But all I'm saying,
she was quite old, so.
Actually, yeah, I could have just passed away. But no, their relationship was a really strong one, and he missed her as soon as he left.
Yeah.
And they had that cute little...
Yeah, they were living together, weren't they? And so she seemed like the only thing he had really before.
I really enjoyed the start where he comes home and it's his 30th birthday.
Yeah, I did as well.
And they sing happy birthday and it was just super cute and fun and like it instantly.
Yeah, it was funny. There was something funny about.
Yeah.
She was singing happy birthday to him and he was singing happy birthday to himself as well.
Yeah.
Well, that was quite funny.
It instantly put you on side.
Yeah. Cake looked good.
The cake looks really good.
Big cake.
Yeah. Oh, that was it. And that was just after he got home from work, which was, that was very Wes Anderson, wasn't it? When he sat at his cubicle.
Yeah.
And he's surrounded by colourful paper.
Yeah.
That to me felt really
well. Or the thing with the windscreen wiper or whatever when he's standing in the window. Just that's like the opening shot or something, I think.
Oh.
Or it might not be the opening shot, but.
The graph that looks like he's got a moustache.
No, there was just a shot before that where he's just like standing in a window and there's someone is washing the windows.
Oh,
from the
other
side.
Yes, yeah. Oh, yeah, and it wasn't just him. There was like,
yeah, they were just staring out,
drinking tea, just staring.
Yeah,
it was a great start actually. Even the opening credits, like how fun were they? You know, with the woman doing the sword dancing.
Yeah, what was that about?
And two burglars in nothing but a balaclava and
I'm still not sure what that was about, to be honest.
No, I'm not, because they came up in the story. They were mentioned. Do you remember on the news?
Yeah, mentioned once and then not again.
It's probably just a little joke. I don't know if there's anything more to it. Actually, there probably is.
Probably something to it. I'm not getting.
But no, it was a great start. But like you say, I'm glad it stayed small scale and didn't expand out to like a more broad, like,
yeah,
you know. Because at the end of the day, he's the guy we care about and he's the guy we're interested in.
Mm. But there's a lot of things in there which you can sort of mirror with the real world, like all the therapy techniques and stuff. And they've got the weird hug thing. And they had something in it in which they all like chant together, like, very good, yay. And they all force laughter together as well.
The laughter,
and I've seen a real club Have you seen the same thing?
I've seen clips. Yeah.
They did the exact same thing, and even right down to the very good, yay.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'll get it up on YouTube after. I've seen that before, and it's fucking hilarious. But they're absolutely genuine, and that, you know, see that as some form of therapy. And it's like, it goes even further because they're like asking all the people in their group to like list all their traumas and shit, and then they all laugh at it.
Really?
And that's what they think is a good way of coping with it.
Is this Asia?
No.
Is it not?
No, it's in America.
Okay.
So like they must have seen that for this film before, because it's like, right, because I swear it's even, they do the very good, yay, unless that's like a common phrase thing in certain groups or whatever, maybe it is. But yeah, that was so weird seeing that in this film.
Yeah. And it was, you know, there were many moments like that where it was, you know, going back to that feeling of eeriness behind the facade of like everyone's happy. You know, you had go back to the Bravo 60, his little personal assistant that he has in his room. Mm. And to be fair, there were moments when Bravo asked him, are you okay? Are you sure? Like, it wasn't trying to pretend that he wasn't. But for whatever reason, RB was just not even willing to say, no, I'm not. He never once said, I'm not happy, did he?
Well, there was, you know, we saw people get like exiled from the place.
That was hilarious.
When they
the way they did that.
I don't know. They weren't happy enough, or they weren't
contributing enough.
Yeah.
Oh, that was it. That was the guy who did the cat tours.
Yeah.
And the only time we never actually see him giving a tour, he's just sleeping all day.
So yes, everything seemed very genuine, and they genuinely want people to be happy, but really it's more a pressure to be seen as happy, or to be in the statistics of happy within the bubble that is this social club,
because your job depends on it.
Yeah. Your life depends on it,
and your life. And I guess also, you know, the reason they're kicking him out is because this social club, if they're reporting to a higher power, and there's probably loads of these around the country, you know, if theirs isn't performing, they might get, just, I don't know what might happen, but you know, they need their employees to do a good job. Otherwise, as a whole, they're probably going to suffer, aren't they?
Yeah.
So I guess it's also the idea of, you know, wealth and success being more important than, are you actually happy? You know, because you can put on a fake smile, and you can have this awesome community that looks really nice, and you know, she was showing it off to him when he first arrived, wasn't he? Look, this is our main reception or whatever, and it's like looking really, she wants him to be impressed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all very much about the look rather than what's underneath.
Yeah so
I enjoyed this film a lot.
Yeah, I did too.
I mean, it's sometimes hard to digest something. I mean, to be fair, we've had a while now, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
But I still feel like over the next couple of days, you know, I might just think about it every now and again, and some new idea might come to me, or I might read up about it a bit more. Because
yeah, well, I would be interested to see it again, because I think
I would.
Mm. You know, there's maybe some more about the end of the film that I would hope to get out of a second watch in terms of sort of what's going through his head. I'm not sure I sort of grasped everything. In terms of when he made decisions to leave, or you know, whatever.
Was that the very end? So he leaves, doesn't he? Goes back to his mum.
I guess it will sort of get.
Oh, and then he.
I guess these are spoilers, but I don't know if it's like really something spoiler. Like, is there really anything spoilery in this film? I don't think it's that really. Kind of film.
But then he goes home to find one of his colleagues from the social club, that girl.
Yeah,
working.
What was her name? Do you remember?
Orca or something?
Yeah, not orca, not a whale. It was close to that though. Yeah,
she was. Yeah, working. What was she doing? Why was she there again? I can't remember why she was there.
I can't remember either. But it looked like she was just doing something for the grandmother.
What was the final shot again?
It was showed them talking together on the balcony, didn't it?
Was that the last shot? Okay.
I don't know if it was the last shot, but that was towards the end. And then the last shot, I think it zoomed out of the
high-rise thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, there's definitely something to where the mum lives.
Yes, there is, yeah.
And the idea of, I don't know, like being trapped or like...
Well,
some, I don't know.
I mean, I think maybe it was, again, sort of supposed to be mirroring it. I think because, like we say, that girl was doing something for the grandma, like, I don't know, fixing the TV or some shit.
Yeah.
Or heating, maybe. I can't remember. But, you know, that's basically a mirror of what those happiness agents were doing in the social club, wasn't it? You know?
Yeah.
Doing jobs for older people or people, you know,
and then when
they needed those jobs doing.
And then when the drone shot was zooming out away from the building that his mum lives in.
Yeah.
It fit it fit perfectly on the logo of the whatever it was. I don't know what that was saying. Like the keyhole logo symbol thing. It was like the bird's eye view, it was like the shape of the bird's eye view of the building.
Yeah, so I
think really know.
Yeah, so I think there's some sort of mirror there between this social club and reality society as it is.
Yeah, and I guess as well we haven't spoken about. So it's talking about happiness, and it's also talking about relationships because they were being matched up, weren't they? Like,
yeah,
you know, oh, we found an 83% match for you.
Yes,
you should be very happy about this.
Yeah, I mean, like, you found your girlfriend on Tinder, didn't you? Jack, it's the same shit.
Yeah, I mean, but it was weird because like once they got together, like they were instantly like pretty shortly after being paired up, they were like in the same bed, and it was like they were expected to.
I think it is an online dating sort of comparison.
Okay, it probably is actually. And then, but then they're being marked, like they're being watched as they have these intimate moments.
Yeah, but it's true. That's, you know, there is a lot of pressure on people to be in these types of relationships, and that, you know, that's seen as the socially acceptable thing to do, to live your life.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought it was all really good.
Mm.
Yeah, I did enjoy this film. I think I'm liking it more and more the more we talk about it. To be honest,
there's a lot to chew at.
There is,
and you could. I thought they did a very effective job because you could tell it was, you know, you could kind of tell it was made for a relatively low amount. But it was really effective. Like,
it didn't seem like there was loads of.
It's obviously an independent film.
Yeah.
But it felt they managed to, you know, make the absolute most out of what they had. You know, like we've already mentioned, the shots and the lighting and the design, like just the design of the actual social club, like all the rooms.
Mm-hmm.
It felt quite futuristic. But then every time you saw a shot of the outside, it was clear that it was present day and it wasn't actually some sort of dystopian future or anything. But the design of the hotel...
It's one of those where it seems like it's, you know, could be a near future thing. But no, I think it's more like there's futuristic sort of things
that
seem in here, but it's sort of injecting into present day. It's more like, you know, this is sort of where we are.
They designed it really well. And then we haven't talked about the main characters, his elderly citizen who he's linked up with and has to look after through the week. She's almost like, she's not falling for any of it, is she? She's very, very stubborn.
Yeah.
And she's kind of calling them out for their bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's one of the therapy sessions that one of the happiness agents leads every day is this, like, they're by the pool and there's about four or five of them in the pool. She stood on the side and she's telling them to like do all this weird like dancing stuff and it's just trying to like force them to be happy basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then this elderly lady's just sat on the side watching and the happiness agent goes over to her and she's like, oh, are you sure you don't want to come and join us? Are you sure I don't want to get in? And she's like, don't talk to me like that. Don't pretend this is a real job. Like, you know, don't, how can you think you know more about life than I do? Like, you know, she's obviously got way more experience and she just sort of calls her out for it.
Yeah.
And then later on, that happiness agent who she's just called out is speaking to the main character. And she's
not just her as well. There's also that old guy that sits by the pool and he seems to just sit there just so that he can squirt water at the people in the pool doing those things.
Yeah. Yeah, but I got the sense with him, he was actually enjoying just being there and just sort of.
It seemed like he was enjoying like making fun of them though, right?
I guess
trying to mess with them.
Yeah, I guess. But then later on, in a more private moment between the main guy and the young girl who was just called out by the elderly woman, she admits it and she says to him, she's right, like, who am I to tell you how you should feel and shit, like.
Yeah.
So, I think it's pretty clever, and it doesn't really avoid calling itself or being a bit self-aware at times. I think it's really clever.
Yeah.
And it's quite effective, really. Because like we said, you know, it is really funny. It's got that light feel. But there is actually a lot going on. And I would like to rewatch it too.
Yeah, sounds good.
There's quite a bit going on, really. And I'm sure if I was to watch it again, it's the type of thing that I think you'd get more out of on a second watch.
Can't find a budget for it anyway. That's what I'm trying to find.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know that budget. But no.
But yeah. I think that pretty much wraps it up there.
I don't know if you want to mention, but another comparison you made more with the aesthetic was with Squid Game.
That wasn't really the comparison I was making. I was sort of joking. Just because.
Oh, right, okay.
Because they're Asian.
Okay.
So it must be like the Squid Game.
Okay.
Yeah. But in actuality, yeah, there is a bit of a bit of a comparison in terms of, you know, the colourful aesthetic masking the dark beneath.
Masking the goings on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I enjoyed it a lot. There's some cracking films coming out of Asia, you know, every time we see a Korean film or...
Cracking films coming out of Asia.
Well, the ones that we see. I'm not saying, you know, I don't often watch films from Asia, but it's not often you get a stinker.
Well, I think maybe that's a bit of a falsehood, Jack, because I think the reality of that is that we're likely to only see the best.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, exactly. We're not going to see...
that those are the ones that are going to make it over to, you know, wherever we find them.
Yeah.
Should we get on to our favourite scenes?
Oh, yeah. One more thing.
Okay.
I think it's worth mentioning, but it was an interesting point how we came out and we both sort of said, that's interesting. A lot of it was in English.
Yeah. Well, I didn't...
Like, why would you... So when he turns up and there's a lead nurse, I'm just going to call her that, or a lead, what do you call her? You know, the main woman, Bill. Mm-hmm. She talks to him in English.
Yeah.
Like when she's showing him around, that makes no sense.
Yeah. I don't know. Why?
Because when his mum visits, she talks to him. She talks to her in Mandarin.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, there probably really isn't a reason, but it just was a bit strange.
I can see there being something about it. I don't know. Mm. Them choosing to speak in the most spoken language as a some kind of like. I don't know, I'm just sort of talking out my ass here, but...
Because Mandarin, I think Mandarin might be even more widely spoken. I don't know, though. Whatever.
Yeah, maybe.
No, I don't know. Yeah, there probably is something, because otherwise why would they do it? There must be a reason.
But I found it odd that the whole film was subtitled, despite the fact that the majority of it was in English.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little distracting at times. Yeah.
And one final thing. Another interesting...
One more thing?
Another interesting sort of idea that it plays with as well is the joy people get from complaining. They kept going back every day.
Yeah.
And they were chanting, complain, complain. like that's what made them happy.
Mm.
Which is an interesting idea, isn't it? I guess venting, like we'll enjoy.
Him being there to complain to is what got him to the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah. So I mean, we'll enjoy a good vent and getting things off our chest, but it was the idea of like, moaning, complaining makes people happy. It's quite an interesting thought, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think we've picked it apart fairly well there.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it, yeah.
Me too.
My favourite scenes.
Yeah.
I know what mine is.
Go on.
I think mine's the hug therapy session.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, it was funny. because there's a moment where he gets partnered up with the girl who he ends up being matched with later on, and there's an exercise where they have to essentially spoon, and he's like, his head is on top of her head, and the guy leading the session says, talk about your fears, and she tells him that she's scared of being alone, or she's scared of being alone or something. And it's quite a deep, like, she's opening up quite a lot to this guy who she doesn't even know.
Mm.
And she's like, do you know what I mean? And he just doesn't say anything. And then it's like, right, next exercise.
Yeah.
And she's, oh, fuck.
Yeah, it was a good scene.
So that's funny.
I guess I'll, just the one that sticks out at the moment, I'll just go with the one where they're all trying to find it, help him find his cat.
Yeah, that was great.
The
moment when they all realise why he was...
Yeah, they're all like following him to complain at him
down the street,
and then they find out his cat's missing, and they're all desperate to help find it.
Yeah, they instantly start going here, kitty, kitty. Everyone, yeah, so that was fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. What are you going to give this one out of 10, Jack?
Oh, I agree. I mean, you know, if you'd have asked me as soon as we finished the film yesterday, I maybe wouldn't have given it quite as. I mean, I enjoyed it,
mm-hmm.
but I think, like you say, speaking about it now, it's definitely gone up slightly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more you think about the messages and how clever it was to weave them all in. So, yeah, I think I'm going to go for a 7.5.
Okay,
mm.
Cool. I'll just go half lower than that. I'll give it a 7 out of 10. And, interested to maybe see it again someday.
Mm.
So it's like,
yeah, I'd recommend this film to anyone, really. It's funny, it's smart. You know, it's, like we said, it doesn't drag, it's not super long or anything, so it's quite accessible.
Still want to know what that burglar thing is about.
Yeah, that's a weird one, that.
All right. Shall we move on to our second watch of the episode?
I think we should.
Okay.
Fuck. Right.
So the next... The next film we're reviewing this week is Krat, and won't do a clip for this one because it's...
Oh, we should.
What do you mean we should? I don't... It's in German or whatever
Estonian.
Language. Estonian, sorry. We're not doing a clip for something in another language. I'm putting my foot down on this now.
Okay, fine. Okay,
stupid
fine.
As fucking shit.
So for the benefit of the listeners, before we get into the actual review, Krat in Estonian mythology... is a magical creature or a treasure bearer. A krat was a creature formed from hay or of old household implements by its master, who then had to give the devil 3 drops of blood for the devil to bring life to the krat. And then you could get the krat to basically do whatever you wanted and work for you. That's the myth.
Okay.
That's the Estonian myth.
Okay.
Which is fairly niche, so I think we need to establish that.
Yeah. Okay, so Krat is directed by Rasmus Merivu, and it stars Mary Lill, Nora Merivu, Harry Merivu, Ivo Ukivi, and Jan Usbold. Synopsis is, children are left at grandma's house without their smartphones. Real life seems rather boring until they find instructions for the Krat, a magical creature who will do whatever its master says.
Oh, okay.
All they have to do now is to buy a soul from the devil. What did you think of Krat?
Well, going into it, I'd said to you that I was actually quite looking forward to it because I just got the sense from the trailer that it was going to be village.
Yeah.
And kind of fun in a not good way.
I mean, I'd say it is village.
Oh, it is village.
Yeah.
I wasn't wrong about that.
No.
But I expected to enjoy it more because of the villageness.
Mm.
And actually, it was just fairly painful, wasn't it? I mean, well, very painful, actually.
Yeah.
So the first hour, even though I wasn't enjoying it, you know, it was coherent. It was quite a simple fairy tale. It felt like a children's film, basically.
Yeah.
You know, the humour was very PG. It just felt like a children's film, really. And it was going along at a... you know, fairly decent pace. I wasn't enjoying it. You know, the child acting was pretty damn poor from all, actually, adults as well.
child acting from the adults.
Yeah.
Pretty poor.
Yeah. But it was, you know, I was kind of just accepting what it was, and that was that. And then it just kind of broke down and just, I mean, went batshit crazy. I mean, it felt like a different film. Like, even though it was still shit, it almost just, it did feel like a different film, didn't it?
Yeah.
Especially when they started
I think that was intentional.
Yeah.
It's trying to lull you in with, you know.
With like a fairly straightforward story.
Yeah.
And you don't see it coming.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, yeah, I didn't. It wasn't even enjoyable in that kind of way of like, oh, it's so shit, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
It was boring. It was so long. I mean, like, it was
I mean, as it turns out, actually wasn't that long. It really felt like it was.
What was it, an hour 45, I think?
Yeah, something like that.
But it did feel longer than Dune, longer than Bond.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
What was crazy was, you know, there was a lot of people in there howling.
Mm.
I mean, they might have had a fair bit to drink. I don't know.
Yeah, they could think they had. I think the film did resonate a lot more with other people in the audience than it did with us.
I mean, look, there were times when, yeah, it was kind of fun and stupid. And there were times when I laughed, not hard, but, you know, there were some funnier moments.
Yeah, it was the odd line.
There was the odd line. But on the whole, it was really quite painful. Yeah, I'd say it's definitely the worst film I've seen at LIFF. Well, you've seen a few more than I have. But most of them that we've seen together have been pretty great.
Yeah, we've had some good ones.
We've been lucky. I mean, because at the end of the day, you have to realise that when we see the guide for what's coming on, there's no super deep thought. We kind of have a look at a few trailers, don't we? And,
mm-hmm.
and I guess the main thing is, right, what's available on the day that I can come?
Yeah.
You know, we knew that I could come Tuesday or Wednesday, so we didn't actually have a massive range of choice.
Mm. Yeah, there was that, they're showing Lamb tonight, which we were hoping to go and see, but it's on too late for you to be able to come see it.
I'm a bit gutted about that. I mean, I'll see it, I hope, because I think it will get a release at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a shame that wasn't Tuesday night. But yeah, look, you're not always going to be able to strike lucky.
Strike lucky.
I mean, we're going to remember it, that's for sure. But yeah, it was pretty shocking. Fliss, who isn't obviously here right now, but she was with us last night, and I believe she fell asleep for the majority.
She did, yeah.
Yeah. Don't know how much that was to do with it. She had obviously a long day at work.
Yeah, true.
But no, I unfortunately was awake for the majority, for the whole thing. And I did not enjoy it. And I get the sense that you feel the same.
You're correct, Jack. I did not enjoy this film at all. I found it increasingly boring and annoying.
I think actually offensively bad.
Yeah, towards the end,
your reactions were like,
it was offensively bad.
I looked over at you a few times and I could tell that you were genuinely like,
Well, it was just so cringy, and I was more pissed off because other people around us were enjoying it.
yeah,
and that's annoying as well, because they shouldn't have been.
Doesn't reflect well on Leeds.
No. or Estonia.
Yeah, this is my first ever Estonian film, and
wow,
it's not off to a great amazing start. Yeah.
Love the Asian films, but not so much the Estonian.
Estonia's got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't want to get into spoiler stuff just yet. I think we might have to fairly soon because there's no real way to talk about any of the absolute gobshite stuff that happened.
Well, it was a whole mishmash, wasn't it? So We've mentioned on the synopsis that it's based on an Estonian myth, real life myth, not made up for the film, sort of fairy tale type deal. And they've mixed that in with like a few modern issues. You've got this thing about kids always being on their phones and not being able to do anything without the internet.
Yeah, great message. I've never heard that one before. Yeah. Really put a lot of thought into that.
That's
the commentary.
That's another thing about this film that we both felt is so dated.
Oh God, yeah. It's like it feels like I'm listening to people talk about these kind of issues in like 2009.
Yeah, this is not a bold new take on we all get that this is a thing that's happened. But and the whole thing about There was a terrible like running gag with the dabbing.
Yeah, dabbing. Yeah,
dabbing. When was that like?
It was just done in such. It was just done in such a cringy way, and all the you know stuff like this with the kids in this film
speak to each other.
Just yeah, it felt like it was written by someone that doesn't understand what young people are like at all. The Cheung Bao-ru did much better job of portraying life as it is now in this surreal club than this film did in its, you know, completely straightforward and not at all subtle message delivery.
Mm. I mean, the best of the kids was the young lad because he didn't say much.
He was still terrible.
Yeah, but
and yes, you mentioned it when interrupting me when I was giving the synopsis and the names of the actors, the cast. And yes, I noticed it as well. You hit the nail on the head there. There's a real family influence in here.
It looks like
starting to understand why the kids in this film were cast as they share a last name with the director of the film.
Yeah. And then it wasn't just the phone thing. What else was it talking about? I don't get the whole, I've got no idea. So the parents.
Well, there's a big government, you know, government thing as well. Corruption.
Yeah. Big one.
In there as well, which again was very much, you know, on the surface and
government.
It's just like, you just haven't got anything to say, so just stop.
and the American government wanting access to like this.
I just feel like I'm reading Facebook comments watching this film.
It's so funny because they kept saying that themselves. Like they kept putting jokes in there about all these fucking morons having an opinion on Facebook.
Yeah.
That's what this film is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's, I don't know. Like, are we being really like,
no, we're not.
Were they trying to do this? I don't know.
No.
Yeah, the whole thing about the American government wanting access to this Siri.
Oh, well, do you mean in terms of, yeah, maybe there, I was thinking at a certain point that it might be making fun of the people that complain about Facebook and stuff, but as it went on, it felt less and less like it was doing that.
Yeah, because if that's what you're going to do, you kind of have to stick at it, but then it just went on and got even weirder and...
Well, it just didn't, really like resolve anyway for that to be really the case. Like there were things where people would say, oh, they would complain about using social media or Facebook or whatever, that the weird obsession with Facebook is just so strange. This way, it's always Facebook is talking about, and then you just see these news headlines that just say, what did it say? Facebook peace achieved or something. It's like, what the fuck? One of them said that in like a newspaper headline. I was like, what the fuck is that headline? But they would complain, and then they would say, and then they would get their phones out in order to solve some situation or whatever. So I can see that being definitely intended irony and stuff. Yeah,
because there is a bit of that in real life. Like,
yeah, of course there is. There's every single day. But either way, whether it was trying to complain about social media or make fun of the people that do complain about social media, either way, it did it with the subtlety of a donkey that's just kicked a small child in the face.
Yeah, I mean, it was all over the place, wasn't it? Absolutely all over the place. It kept picking up, you know, it had a few different tangents. You got the fairy tale aspect, you got the parents. I still got no idea what that was.
No, yeah.
Fentanyl. What is fentanyl?
Opioid.
So it's like a drug.
Yeah, which came across in the delivery of everything.
Pain medication.
But yeah, I don't really know why there was such a thing about that in the film.
And they went off on some like retreat where everyone was vomiting.
Yeah.
I've just got no idea.
Well, we might have to like dip into some spoiler stuff because after some point does just go off the rails. I think at the beginning, towards the beginning of the film, I was sort of just like, yeah, kind of just not really enjoying it and rolling my eyes a bit at all the mentions of them needing their phones or whatever. Every time the main girl, I'm sorry, was like the worst. She was so irritating and she was very bad at acting. she said everything with the same sort of rhythm to her lines, which really got on my nerves. The way her character would, you know, talk about having this, like,
the YouTube channel
and the Insta story she needs to do, and yeah, I just, it's just so not funny as well, to have this like drug like dependence on the phones or whatever, and it's just so unoriginal at this point as well.
Yeah, it did feel super dated in everything, really.
Yeah. Yeah, well, let's get into some of the spoiler stuff for it, shall we?
Okay,
so spoiler talk for Kratz now. So if you care about spoilers for this film, then skip ahead. I'll put them in the description when the spoilers will end. 3, 2, 1, skip. Yeah, so at a certain point during this film, I have no idea. I have no concept of when anything happened, like how long anything was in this film. But at a certain point, the kids decided to build this Kratz creature thing in order to help the grandma do work or whatever.
Yeah, what was their reason?
Well, that was it. This how it was. I feel like a lot of the plot points in this film is very loose reasoning or motivation behind it. I mean, even the mere fact of they find out, she tells them what this crap thing is, and that there's this book of instructions that's been lost for years or whatever.
Oh, the count's book.
And then they just go to the library and it's just there.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that was pretty easy.
Yeah, it's just, oh yeah, because everything from the manor or whatever it is, the old house, is being like moved. So it's all the library in boxes and they just stumble upon it. The reason they go to the library is to use the internet.
Yeah.
And then they find the book. Yeah, and then the grandma discovers what they've done at night, because they're out at 11 o'clock trying to get blood to draw the devil out. Grandma wakes up, realizes, oh shit, I know what they've done, because she finds the book or something.
Yeah.
And then she goes and chops it down. She chops the crap down with a chainsaw to try and build tension. They made it so initially she had to go and get fuel first, which added like 10 minutes of the film. Mm-hmm. And then she eventually manages to chop it down, it falls on her, and a massive scythe goes through her head and kills her until she is awoken by the crap.
Yeah, and the way they do this is they have to like give blood for this is so stupid. They have to give blood.
Three drops
of blood for the crap. And they're a bit nervous about doing so, but the little girl's like, oh, come on, it's just three drops, give me your finger. So he's about to do it, and then one of the other kids fucking pipes up, one of the twins, August or July, pipes up and says, oh, hang on a minute, lads, I've got a better idea of how to get some blood. And then it cuts to them just breaking into a hospital and stealing a bag of someone's blood
out the fridge. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what?
A whole bag.
An entire bag of someone's blood.
Yeah.
And there's like, and that's also really easy for them to do. They just walk in there. It's explained away with a single line of dialogue in which they're like, they say again, they can't go 5 minutes without bringing everything back to the internet, which is maybe the claim they're trying to make about these kids, but God, it's so irritating. the single line of dialogue is the kid just says, oh, we sometimes break in here when we need to go online.
we sometimes break into the hospital.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. What are you talking about? Firstly, it must be a regular thing then that these other kids just don't have their phones or whatever. It was said that they had their phones taken off them for the summer, I guess. Was it for the whole summer or was it just like for the day? Or I couldn't really tell.
No idea.
Must have been for the whole summer then, so that maybe explains that. But they also said that there's internet at the library, so why?
Yeah,
are they breaking into a hospital? Why is that the second option anyway? let's break into the hospital to use the internet.
Yeah.
It's like, honestly, it feels like this film was written by a bot that had just had the internet explained to it by someone else that doesn't quite get what the internet is and then decided to write a film about it.
Yeah.
So,
they get the blood.
Hmm.
She tries to whistle because apparently that's all you got to do to get Satan out of his hellhole.
Hmm.
So they get him out. Oh, and then when they get...
Oh, he's a midget as well. Don't know if that's...
Yeah, I don't... I guess because in a lot of depictions of Satan, he's like got those little legs, hasn't he?
Goat legs.
Yeah, goat legs.
Why does that make him a midget?
So maybe they just wanted the short person. I don't know.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. Anyway, and then they go back because so Satan fucks off and they decide to go back and she's like, oh, okay. So now what we got to do is get the crap to do our work for us. And they find her.
I mean, but I'd be bored of this just hearing you explain.
Sorry, listeners. Eventually they find the grandma making some bread, but she's clearly like possessed because at this point we realized that.
Yeah, why was she making bread?
Yeah, who told her to do that? Oh, because it was on the TV.
Oh, was it?
There was some.
Oh, right.
I actually fucking.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, you're right. You're right. It's a bit loose again of an explanation.
And then they realize, oh shit, grandma's got a massive knife through her head. Let's call an ambulance. And then.
It's all just played off for laughs as well. So there's no like. There's no horror from the kids or anything. They don't give a shit. And that's, I don't know. I guess if the comedy doesn't work for you, then there's not much about this film that's going to work for you. And it did not work for me. I did not find this film funny at all.
And there's a lot of thing we haven't even mentioned about like the sacred forest.
Well, I mean, we don't have to fucking describe the whole plot, but.
There's a lot of tangents.
Yeah, there are a lot of tangents and it just becomes more so and more so. And you know, to the point where we get, eventually someone asks Siri a question and then it goes inside Siri and outside another
call center.
Like a call center thing in
the poor kids.
God knows where.
Poor kids operating it.
Afghanistan or some shit.
It looked like it was definitely trying to be somewhere in the Middle East.
Where they're like spying on people trying to find
nuggets of information to sell to the government.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, and I'm just like, what the fuck is this film turned into? And it's just so it's just more and more random shit just happens, and I'm not interested in any of it. But that one in particular was the least interesting.
That's when it to me felt like it just honestly felt like a different film when we see like the Apple event style thing where he's introducing this supercomputer.
Yeah.
And then you've got like an American governor or someone like sitting in the crowd by this point I think we were just like we were gobsmacked. I just kept looking around and
there was a specific moment in this film as well that I was completely decided to be done with it as soon as that happened.
Oh god, yeah.
And it's when Grandma Krat decides, so she's on the hunt for
the
local politician whose blood they used to awaken her, because part of the like story, I don't know if this is true in the real life like legend or whatever,
if you run out of jobs you break them
down. Once you run out of jobs for her to do, she'll like kill you or whatever.
She'll break your neck.
She'll break your neck.
Or the person whose blood it is.
So they ran out of jobs for her. And so she goes to kill them. And then she's like, wrong blood, which she says directly to the camera for no reason. Except because that that was the only way they could think to get that bit of information across.
There was a few break the fourth wall moments, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was really odd and annoying. Yeah. I think the governor, did he?
He looked down the camera.
He looked down the barrel quite a lot. Don't know why. Anyway, so she goes to find this governor in order to get the blood, which I think she's able to do by just sniffing the air. So she sees some fireworks going off in the distance, which is where the governor is. And so she just decides immediately how she's going to get over there, and that's by eating
sauerkraut.
A load of sauerkraut and drinking a lot of milk, and then crouching down, lighting a match underneath her asshole, and farting on it in order to get her to propel herself in a firework animation that gets her over to the governor.
Very good CG, by the way, wasn't it?
Mm. That was the moment where I was done with this film and really wanted to go home. And
oh god, I remember looking at you straight after that, and you just
I was honestly, if we weren't doing if this, maybe I wouldn't, because I don't like to leave films. But I was honestly like really thinking of just saying to you, let's just go.
Yeah,
this is so bad.
Yeah,
but
and because after that there was still like it kept going.
Yeah,
every scene felt like right, this is the end, and it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. And then at the end, there's like a supposed to be some sort of like emotional moment in which it goes slow motion and plays a full 2-minute song.
Well, there's a whole exorcism, which we're not going to get into.
Yeah. That's so much I don't give a shit about. I don't want to get talked
this
about.
This must sound to all these listeners like this must sound like this isn't even a review. This is just us remembering vague shit.
Yeah, basically.
But this is how all over the place this was. Like, we can't really. This is not something you can analyze. It's just an absolute shit show.
Yeah.
And it sounds as mad as it was. Like, this is actually what it was like.
But when it was playing that song and going in slow motion, that was like the most pain I think I was in throughout the film, because I just
like 2 minutes. You know,
I could feel how uncomfortable I was in the chair and how tired I was, and desperate I wanted to leave, and it was just going on and on, and it was so slow, and there was nothing interesting happening on the screen at all to warrant the slow motion.
Was this after The Devil had come out, or just before? I can't remember. It's after, and then the American agent comes in with his SWAT team.
Yeah, which again is then a link to the least interesting part of this film, which is the president element of it.
And that's how the grandma comes back to life with a defibrillator.
Yeah, which is again, it's just there's just nothing, like, even when you look past the terrible comedy and everything, and then you just try and look at it from a story-based thing, nothing in the story makes any sense. As far as I'm aware, she's still got a scythe through her fucking head. Yeah. And they're bringing her back to life with a defibrillator.
Yeah, just because the devil's no longer inside, you've still got a fucking massive knife through your skull.
Yeah, exactly. And then it just like it's just played off as like everything turns back to normal, and you know.
Oh yeah.
And then the parents come home and everything's back to normal. The kids aren't heavily traumatized at all.
What was the grandma's wink to the camera at the end? I think
Fucking kill me. I just wanted to get out at that point. But yeah, and then it does another final little message phone thing where they come out, and the girl does a really cringy, like, oh my god, we had so much fun, you have no idea how crazy things got here, and she starts listing off like random shit that was not any of the stuff she found exciting in the first place.
Yeah,
I don't know why she was talking about that anyway. So she starts listing that shit off, and she's so excited, and it's like, she's cured. She understands that phones aren't everything. And then she sees her phone and goes, oh, phones, I have to go and do an Insta story, and runs off into the house.
That's the last we see of her.
Last we see of my remaining brain cells as well. I don't want to talk about this film anymore, to be honest.
Yeah, I hope that came across of just how all over the place and incoherent and just bullshit this film was. So
yeah, I think it probably is the worst.
It's got to be the worst.
It's got to be the worst one I've seen at LIFF. Yeah, as well.
I mean, I can't even think of one that comes close. Maybe you've seen shit and stuff.
Yeah, it's hard to remember now from.
But that's
from 2019. But yeah, this one has got to be the most disappointing experience I have had at LIFF.
Yeah. But you know what? Like, we know that this is a possibility. You know, it's all a gamble.
Yeah, of course.
And it's kind of a nice reminder that, you know, it can go wrong.
Yeah, some things you just don't click with, I guess. You know, it seemed like lots of other people were enjoying the film, so maybe you'll enjoy the film, I don't know. But it did not click with us at all.
Do you think this is the type of film that maybe Woody, like,
no,
would have enjoyed because it was so stupid?
Oh, well, I don't think so.
Not in a Krampus way, but, like, in a way where it's, like...
I don't think so, because I just don't think it has the same self-awareness that Krampus does.
No, I don't think he would have been.
So, no, I think I would really like to encourage Woody to watch it.
I'd love Joe to watch it as well.
Yeah, I would actually really like that. Yeah. I do not think they'll enjoy it.
No. But Estonia, we're looking at you. That's a bad start.
Back to work.
Come back next year. And we'll see what you've got for us. But let me tell you, it's going to have to be amazing for us to forget about this sorry episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Yeah. Favourite scene, Jackie?
Oh, my word. This may be the hardest favourite scene I've ever had to do. But I love how we still have to do this.
Well, the hardest laugh that you got, that the film got out of you, was the opening shot of just, like, dead bodies all over the graveyard. Oh, the
throwback to 1895. Yeah,
it just opened with a dark shot of, like, loads of gruesome dead bodies all over the place. And then Jack to the left of me just starts bursting out with laughter. I have no idea what he found so funny.
I wasn't laughing at the image.
It wasn't even supposed to be funny.
Yeah, I wasn't laughing at the image. It was just the whole vibe, like, we'd been waiting for a while, and then I remember it was a black screen for, like, a few seconds, and then all of a sudden it just, like, popped up, and I just got the giggles.
Yeah.
Actually, fair point, yeah. I have to say that. I'll say the start.
Best part. Yeah.
I do love our commitment to this segment. We have to do a favourite. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, see, the thing is, there was the odd line.
Yeah,
like,
I did have
a bit of an exhale.
I heard some air leave your lungs.
Yeah, that did happen. But the trouble is, I can't remember for the life of me now. So
no, I can't.
So I'm struggling.
It's probably in the first hour or something.
Yeah, it will be. I guess I'll just go with where the four kids sort of meet up and.
Oh, the dab.
Is that the dab moment?
It's the first dab we see. Because he goes, whoa, a tail whip. And she goes, a dab?
Yeah.
And then grandma goes, oh, it's fine, kids. Just come back for tea.
Oh, God.
Just say that and we can move on.
Yeah, okay. I can't think of anything else. So.
All right.
Right, that's the end of spoiler talk for Krat. So you can listen now without fear. And what are you going to give this one out of 10, Jack?
I don't know. It's obviously very, very low. Whether it deserves a half, I'm not sure.
No, I don't think it's that bad.
I don't think it's that bad.
It's pretty close, though.
It's pretty close.
It's got. I think it's got to be a 1.5 for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll match you there, I think. Yeah, 1.5. It's a lucky half that it's getting. I was going to say one, but I think 1.5, yeah. The first, when you think about, you know, the first hour, not that it was good, but it was...
It wasn't good.
No, but it was just a children's film almost.
Yeah, and I'm not completely against the idea of sort of making you think the film is one thing and then turning it into something else.
No, that can work when it's done well.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think one and a half is fair, yeah.
Okay.
Let's go with it.
Right. That's that then.
Yeah. Part one.
Part one of Lif.
Two more films today.
Special. Done. Yeah, we're about to go and watch two more films. Should we say now or should we save it for the next episode?
Yeah, let's save it.
Save it, I think, yeah. Okay, well, yeah.
Although we do know that when we record our part two, it's probably going to be on Zoom remotely.
Yeah, that's true. You're going to be going home after we watch the films.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, it's been great. Great to be back in Leeds, as always.
Good stuff. Yeah, it's been fun having you here.
Yeah. I hope we can keep this going. I love this tradition.
Yeah.
I love the types of films we get to see. Okay, there's a stinker now and then, but that's what you get with film festivals, you know?
Yeah, of course.
It's all part and parcel. So, no, I've loved it. And who knows? Next year, we might all be able to make it. But I've loved it. And, stay tuned, guys, for part two.
Okay.
Coming very soon.
All right. Well, I guess, yeah, we'll just move on to say then that you can email us at filmnights@yahoo.co.uk if you want. Please follow us on Twitter @filmnights_ and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other podcatcher that you found us on. Other than that, unless you've got anything else you'd like to say, Jack?
Nope.
Then I guess I'll say it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.